Luke 12, beginning in verse 22, this is God's holy word. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And of which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour of span to his life? If you are then not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you." Amen. We all worry, don't we? We all become anxious at different times in our lives, don't we? I don't think there's anyone in here who has never worried about something or doesn't, from time to time, become anxious. What tempts you to become anxious? What do you worry about? Just think about it for a moment. Think about the things that tempt you to be anxious. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's somebody in your family. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's the world. Maybe it's the things around us that we see. Maybe it's we're worried about our children. Maybe we're worried about our spouse. But what is it that tempts you to be anxious? This is a word for you today. This is a word for me because, like you, I get anxious about things in this life. And our Father in heaven wants to remind us today that he has a purpose for your life. Therefore, don't worry. You are precious to him. Therefore, don't worry. And everything you need is provided for. So don't worry. Very simply, that's the sermon today. So Lord Jesus wants to speak to his disciples here. He's speaking particularly to his disciples here. He's saying, because of who I am, because of what I promise you, don't be anxious for anything. All right? So the first thing I think our Lord would have us to remember is this. Christian, do not worry, do not be anxious, for your life has a purpose. And you might wonder why I say it this way. Just stick with me. Verse 22. "Therefore I tell you." Notice he starts with "therefore." This is a continuation of the story of the rich fool. Remember the rich fool, the man just prior to this, the man who piles up things in his storehouse. He piles up riches and he thinks he has it made until God says, "It's time for you to come home." And so this is a continuation of that story. We're tempted to look to earthly things to provide for ourselves. Jesus would have us look to him. "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life." This is the universal problem that we all have. What you will eat, what you will put on. So we're going to see him continually come back to these two things. What we eat, what is our food? What do we put on? Our clothing. Now we worry about a lot more than that, but these will stand in for many things. Our food, our clothing. This will stand in for many things in life. And so don't worry about these things, he says. This is right off the bat, our Lord Jesus is making his point very clear. He doesn't want you to worry. He doesn't want us to be anxious. By the way, it's not wrong to be afraid of things. Sometimes it's good that you're afraid. If you see some danger coming, you see some threat to your safety, it's good to be afraid of those things. We're not talking about that. We're talking about living in a state of anxiety, allowing anxiety to dominate our lives, that we live in this. You see, this is what our Lord wants us to see. And he wants to remind us that your life is more than what you eat and more than what you put on your body. Verse 23, for life is more than food and the body more than clothing. So I think he's helping us to see, don't fall into the error of the rich fool who made his whole life material possessions. He made his whole life how he lived, the comfort that he lived in, you see. And I think this is an American trap. I think this is a particular trap for our Western society because we are so used to comfort. We're so used to having ease and convenience. And I think our Lord would warn us that this is not necessarily good for our soul. Because you see, we become accustomed to these things and we begin to become addicted to them. And when we don't have the comforts or the material things that we wish we had or that we think we deserve, we become anxious. He says, don't fall into that trap. Your life consists in more than food. Your life consists in more than what you wear. You could add to that, your life consists in more than where you live. Your life consists in more than what you have in your bank account. Or where you go on vacation. Or whatever. What is Jesus getting at? We have a saying in our church. In fact, members of our church will find this very familiar. Maybe you remember this from your previous experience. The Shorter Catechism, question one. What is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is what? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Your life is more than your material possessions and your comforts in life. Why do you exist? Why are you on earth? Why did God make you? Why did God cause you to be born? Why did God cause you to live in this time? To glorify Him and to enjoy Him. You see, this is our purpose. So Jesus is getting at this right off the bat. Your life is more than your stuff. You're here for God's sake. You're here to glorify Him. And so here, I would remind you of the timeless words of Augustine, that great theologian of Africa. Our hearts are restless until we find our rest in God. If our hearts are not resting in God, in Christ, if we are not finding our significance in Him, our provision in Him, our security in Him, you see, we are disordered. Our lives are disordered. Our lives are not in its proper state. Our hearts are not in their proper state. Christ would first say, find your security, your rest, your purpose in Him. And so, brothers and sisters, do we want to overcome our anxiety? I think this is the very first step Jesus would have you know. Consider your purpose. If you're not keeping your purpose in mind, something's out of order. Okay? By the way, let me ask you this. Is your devotional life, does your life in prayer, we just heard, don't leave the house, we just sang this, don't leave the house without praying. Is our devotional life consistent with this point I'm making? That Christ is the purpose for our lives? Is what we read consistent with our purpose, our reading habits, our thought life, what we watch? Remember why you exist. Your life is more than your stuff. Second thing I think the Lord wants us to see is He doesn't want you to worry, Christian, because you are precious to Him. Very simply, God loves you, child of God. He loves you. He's your Father. And He's going to take care of you because you're His child. Listen, He uses these two illustrations. He says, consider, two times, consider the ravens. So children, what's a raven? It's a bird, right? Consider the ravens. Consider the lilies, flowers. Okay, so consider these two things. First, consider the ravens. Now, remember I said He's going to use what we eat and what we clothe ourselves with as sort of a fill in the blank. All right, so fill in the blank. Whatever it is you worry about, here are two examples. First, God feeds His children. God feeds His children. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, yet God feeds them. Yet again, notice how he's going back to the story of the rich fool. The rich fool who shoved his storehouse full of stuff and he thought he had it made. Jesus said, no, my friend, you're a fool. Because you're not considering the most important thing. Your relationship with the God of the universe. So, consider the ravens. They don't have barns. They don't have bank accounts. They don't have pantries. Yet, God feeds them. This is a marvelous thing. Think about the raven. Think about the crow, the common crow. That's what we're looking at. He flies around. He goes to the garbage dump. He picks out little pieces of food. Every little scrap of food that he eats is placed there by the Father. Every little cricket and every little grasshopper in the field that he goes and eats, the Father has set that aside for him. Everything that he eats, God has made provision for him. All of the birds of the sky, all of the beasts of the field, all of the creatures of the earth, our Father provides for them. Think about every meal that you eat. Hopefully you eat better than the ravens. Hopefully you eat more than bugs and scraps of stale bread. Every meal that you eat was provided for by our God. Think about it. Everything that you eat had to be grown, had to be harvested, had to be packaged, had to be shipped, had to be stocked, had to be sold, had to be prepared, all so that you could eat it. And every step of the way, our God made provision for your meal. For all the farmers, all the distributors, all the salespeople, everything that was involved in your getting that food, God ordained it. It's quite amazing to think about. But that's not the point that Jesus is making here. He's saying, I feed the birds, which are fairly useless, fairly worthless. How much more will I feed you, my child? Of how much more value are you than the birds? How much more value are you than a bird of the sky to God? The birds of the air are not made in God's image, but you are. The birds of the air do not receive the blood of Jesus Christ to be shed for your sins to be forgiven, but you did. How much more value are you than those birds? What are you anxious about? What do you fear that God won't provide? Will he not take care of you, his children? I'm reminded of wonderful Psalm, Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 25. I have been young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. God will not forsake his children, and God will not allow you to go begging for bread. He will provide for all your needs. And notice he wants to discourage us from being anxious, because being anxious won't add anything to your life, he says. Verse 25, of which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? So in other words, he's saying, you're worrying about whatever it is that you're anxious about won't add anything. It won't achieve what you want it to achieve. It won't add any benefit to you. In fact, it can only do harm. And the worst thing about worry is that we're failing to trust the Lord. And in doing so, we're not honoring him as we ought. You honor the Lord when you trust him. Because what you're saying to God is, I believe you are who you say you are. And therefore, I want to honor you and believe your words and trust him. That gives great glory to God when you trust him, even when it seems that all is lost. Trust the Lord. So here God says, don't worry. It's not going to add any benefit to your life. Okay, so there's the first consider. The second consider, he says, consider the lilies, how they grow. So I'm not a big flower guy. I don't know one flower from the next. If you showed me a lily, I wouldn't even know it was probably a lily. But I did a little research on lilies. But here, notice what he's doing here. He's talking about lilies as a clothing for the grass. So God isn't saying you are the lily. He's saying you're the grass. That's a little humbling, because I think we probably want to be a lily. But he says, no, Christian, you're the grass. I use the lilies to cover you. The lilies are your glory. The lilies are your garment. And so keep that picture in mind as we think about it. Consider the lilies, how they grow. You plant a lily, a bulb, right? A bulb is goes in the ground. It looks like it's dead. It stays dormant for a time. They're perennials. They come up in their season. And when they come up, they, as it were, resurrect and bring life and beauty. They neither toil nor spin, but God makes them beautiful. They don't have to work. They don't have to labor. They just are made that way. God does it. He says, listen, they're so beautiful, even Solomon in all of his glory are not arrayed like the lilies of the field. But he says, verse 28, if God so clothes the grass, if, in other words, if he makes the common grass, which is all the same, if he makes them so beautiful with the lilies, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Ouch. Jesus, again, bringing that hard word for us. He's saying, listen, you of little faith. He's talking to all of us because all of us at times worry and are anxious and show ourselves to have little faith. Good news is, if you have just a tiny little bit of faith, you can be saved. Because it's not the amount of your faith, it's the object of your faith. Amen? It's the object of your faith. It's in Jesus Christ that we're saved. It's not how great your faith is, it's how great the object of your faith is. And so if you have the mustard seed faith, tiny little faith, and you're putting your trust in Jesus, then he says, you will be saved. Welcome.
There's some hot there that we're sitting.
Come on in.
I don't know. I told them. I went downstairs and I didn't see it. Oh, my goodness.
You're fine. Come on in. So, Jesus is saying here, he's saying, if God has so clothed the grass of the field and he's so made them beautiful with these lilies, how much more will he clothe you, his children? Now, here again, God is saying, remember that God says you are precious to him. You are much more value than ravens. You are of much more value than grass. God says he's made you in his image. He has renewed you in his image. He has given the blood of his own precious son as a sacrifice to atone for your sins, that he might make you his children, adopted into his covenant family. He says you are precious to him. Why are you worrying? This is convicting for me. I don't always believe this. Maybe you can relate. We need to believe what he's saying here. When we're anxious, no, God loves me. He's going to take care of me. He's promised that. And by the way, God has given you far more valuable gifts than he's given to the ravens in the grass. He's given you Christ. Christ who died and rose again. Christ is our food. God feeds us in Christ. He is our heavenly manna. He sustains you by his word. Christ is your righteousness. He has clothed you, not as a lily, but in the white robes of his righteousness. He has clothed you. And we who are so anxious, we worry and we fret and we waste time. We don't even add an hour to our lives, but he says, I will give to you eternity, eternal life in my Son. So Jesus feeds you, Jesus clothes you, and Jesus adds time to your life infinitely. What a gift. This is what your Father has given you in Christ. So, what have we seen? Don't be anxious, Christian. You have a purpose for your life, to glorify and enjoy our God. Don't be anxious, Christian, because you are precious to our God. You are his child, and he's given you the Lord Jesus as the greatest gift of all. And thirdly, we see here that we are not to worry. Christian, we are not to worry because our life has been provided for already by God. Verse 29. He says, and do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. So again, he's saying, don't worry about these things. It's not that we're not to take steps to provide for ourselves. We have to work. We have to do things to make sure that we have food. There's a story of a man named George Mueller. George Mueller was a man who had an orphanage, and there was a point in which he didn't have any food to feed the children. And George Mueller basically said, I'm just going to trust the Lord, and God will send food. He didn't tell anybody. He just said, I'm just going to trust the Lord. Now, this is not the norm. This is not to be this is not prescribed for you, but I'm telling you, that's the normal way is that we work. We ensure that we have what we need. That's the point. We're not to worry about them. Verse 30. He says, don't worry. Don't seek after all these things, for all the nations of the world seek after these things. He says, this is what the world does. The world is just constantly in a state of low-grade anxiety about providing for ourselves. Don't worry. Why? He says, all the world seeks after these things, but your Father knows that you need them. This is the key line. Your Father knows what you need. Do you believe that? As I think about my life, I have to believe my Father knows what I need. He's going to take care of me. He might not give you everything you want. Notice he doesn't say, your Father's going to give you everything you want. And you're always going to be satisfied with getting everything you want. No, sometimes he doesn't give you what you want because what you want won't be good for you. You might think, young people, relationships. Oh, I wish that guy would like me, or I wish that girl would pay attention to me.
No.
Maybe that wouldn't be good for you. Or, oh, I wish I had just a whole bunch more money. I could do all these other things. Maybe that wouldn't be good for you. God gives you what you need, and he withholds that which will not be good for you. Your Father knows that you need them. In other words, don't live like the world. They live like slaves. They have to scrape and claw and scrabble for everything they get. They're anxious. They labor. They strive. God says, live like sons and daughters. You're not slaves. You're sons and daughters of the King. And the King knows what you need. And the King is going to provide what you need. So don't live like a slave. Live like a son. Slaves are always worried and anxious. And they're always scrabbling and slaving and scratching away. God says, you rest, sons and daughters. Rest. I'm going to take care of you. And listen to what he says. When we trust him, when we just rest and say, okay, God, you know what I need. You're going to take care of me. Verse 31, he says, instead, then you're freed up. Then you're freed up to pursue his purpose. Instead, seek his kingdom. And all these other things will be added to you. In other words, when you seek God's kingdom, when you seek God's purpose for your life, living to enjoy and glorify him, God is saying, he said, I'm going to take care of all the things that you need to accomplish that. If it's more money, I'll give you more money. If it's food, I'll give you food. If it's a house, it's a house. If it's a job, it's a job. Whatever you need, I'm going to take care of you. If you need a spouse, a wife, or a husband, whatever it is that you need, God will provide for you if that's his purpose for your life. If that's his kingdom purpose for you. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. Your Father knows what you need. Wonderful news. I love this line. All these other things will be added to you. So, dear friends, what are you tempted to worry about today? What are those things that the Spirit is pressing on your heart that we spend inordinate amount of time thinking about? Anxious. Your Father says you have a purpose. I've made you for a particular purpose, to glorify and enjoy him. He says, you're precious to me. You're my sons. You're not slaves. You're my daughters. You're not slaves. I know what you need. And thirdly, he says, my kingdom. Serve my kingdom. And God will give you all these other things that you need. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who is to us manna from heaven, heavenly bread. The one who feeds our soul with his word. We thank you for Jesus, our righteousness. The one who clothes us in white, clean, and pure. The one who's made us right with you, O Father. And we thank you for Jesus, the one who is our shepherd, who leads us into green pastures, who leads us beside the still waters, who prepares a table before us. We thank you for providing all that we need. And thank you for this sweet reminder not to be anxious, but to trust you, for you know what we need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.